Welcome to Off the Cuff with SDJ, a podcast about everyday life from the spiritual, the physical, and the metaphysical perspective. Each week, I'll bring you episodes that have a casual, laid-back, informal, and spontaneous look at this thing we call life. I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. Now let's get started. Welcome, 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 my friends. So excited to have you here on Off the Cuff with SDJ. That's me, Sunny Dawn Johnston, and Lee Carroll, the original Cryon. Welcome, Lee.
That's me. I'm here. Nice to be wherever anybody is watching this.
Exactly. Wherever you are, we're happy to be here with you. So thank you guys so much for joining us. This is Off the Cuff. This is a lighthearted, kickback, open chat that is giving you an opportunity to get to know myself and our beautiful guest, Lee, today. So thank you so much for joining us. I want to start just by saying, if you're new, I'm Sunny Dawn Johnston. I'm a psychic medium, spiritual teacher, and change maker in the world. And this podcast is about connecting with other change makers in the world. And one of them, absolutely, that's been doing it, I think I read 26 years. Was it 26, Lee?
It's 31.
31. Oh, my gosh. I was taking 5 years off.
Yeah.
31 years of just beautiful work in the world. So I want to share, before we get into this, I just want to give a little bit of bio, because it might be hard to believe, but there may be some people that actually don't know anything about you. I don't know how that would be, but it's possible. So just a little bit of information about Lee for all of you that are new to Lee's work. Lee is the author of 14 Cryon books and co-author of The Indigo Children and Indigo Celebration, and The Indigo Children 10 Years Later. These Indigo books introduced the world to the term Indigo Children in 2000, spawning many follow-up books by various authors, a movie, a documentary, and lots of interest worldwide regarding our changing kids. The Indigo books have sold almost 500,000 copies worldwide in 28 languages. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for joining, Lee. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. This is really interesting. I'm not really sure that when we decided to do this interview, we had a virus going or not. I forget.
Exactly. And it's like, okay, this is the background. This is what he's known for. But now, hey, we have a whole nother subject to talk about.
We do. And I'm just very pleased that you're able to do this, and that people are, maybe we have actually more people watching because of that. They have to stay at home.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot of people are still in quarantine. They're easing their way out, though, little by little, right?
Well, you're in Arizona. I'm in California. And it's funny how government sometimes is just a little slow, if I can say that. It was a few days ago, our governor closed the beaches and the parks. Mm-hmm. Just in time for Californians to be fed up with this and want to get out to the beaches and the parks. So I don't
exactly
know who's going to win on this one.
Yeah, I don't think there's easy choices to be made, but I don't think a lot of the decisions make a lot of sense either some of the time. So I hear you. We got a lot to talk about, because we absolutely, you have some insights, and I want to hear your perspective of this pandemic. But just to get people started so they know a little bit about you, can you just share about what Cryon is and your journey with Cryon, so we can give people that background?
It's kind of hard in a soundbite, as you know, but it has to be done this way. Mm-hmm. It's 31 years ago. I'm an engineer. I still am an engineer. People ask me, I'm still an engineer, and I'm a nerd and proud of it. But what happened to me is, and if I can say this, God got bigger, or that which you consider the creative source got a lot bigger for me. And I had a transformation, which it's something that I'm not going to talk about now.
Yeah.
Cryon is it's a funny name for a very loving, compassionate, angelic kind of entity. And that's all I have ever channeled. And when this came in, it's grown over the years, I knew this was going to be life-changing, because there was nothing like it. And it's not channeling for me is not a takeover. It's a meld with probably one of the most profound feelings of compassion and nurturing and everything that you could imagine that is loving. Yeah, when I sit in that chair and channel, this is where I go. And so over the years, there have been, hundreds and hundreds of channelings and whatever. All of them have been compassionate and loving, and instructive and guiding people in, hopefully, in good ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I was listening actually this morning to, you have a whole resource library, and from my understanding, I mean, it's broken down into years. So there's so much content there.
If I can just tell you this for a
minute, yes.
Just one of the two things, this library we have, spanning since 2005, completely and totally free at crime.com/free audio. You don't leave your emails or anything. It's just free.
Yes.
And that is going to be transferred very soon. And I'm very apologetic to the audience who knows me. It's going to be transferred to YouTube. And right now on YouTube, I haven't put anything yet. Yet there's thousands of these things other people have put there. And sometimes they've monetized them and given wrong titles just so you'll click on the ad. So it's not being handled well. And we're going to, this year, hopefully get in there and straighten that out.
Yeah. I'm happy to hear that because, you know, initially what I did is I actually went to YouTube and there were people on there that weren't you. And I'm like, okay, that's a problem. And you'd mentioned that. So I'm really glad we got to share that with your audience because some people may not know that. And they go on there looking and they're like, wait, this isn't the same guy. So
the other thing is you go on and you'll see a banner that says, world ends tomorrow. And it'll be some channeling from some year. They don't care. They just put it on there. So you'll click and there'll be an ad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the clickbait media, that we were talking about a little bit earlier before we jumped on live absolutely. So, you know, let's just go there since we were talking about it earlier. So, before we jumped on, Lee and I were just talking about how, during this pandemic, how difficult, it has been for people to kind of pull away from the media and how controlling the media has been. And you said, you know, hey, give me some time and I'll talk about that. And I'm like, yeah, because I can get on my soapbox too. So I'd love to hear your perspective of that. And maybe, and I don't know if I'm imagining that you have gotten some insight from Cryon into kind of the purpose or the value of this pandemic. And I think it's helping us to see what doesn't work so we can change it as far as media. But I'd love to hear your insights, Lee.
You're absolutely right. But on the media, you have to, this sounds like a horrible indictment of them, but I want to get, in all fairness, if you take a look at the paradigm of the news and the broadcast, the paradigm forever has been one thing, and that is they compete for drama. Mm-hmm. And so they give you the worst news possible. And then after that, if there's something even worse, they'll go to that. Mm-hmm. And this sells soap and everything else. And we have been in this marketing way forever. This is just America. And so suddenly we have a pandemic where people are in trouble. Everybody's in trouble. It's not just a few.
Right.
It's the whole country. It's the whole world. And they haven't changed their paradigm. And I'm not even sure they even skipped a beat. I'm not even sure they even know they haven't done a good job here. But when you take a look at what they're giving you today, I've watched this just so I can see how awful it is, so I can report. And literally, they will go from one thing to another, giving half a story. And it's always the worst. And if they got something awful that's just, you know, just trumps everything, sorry to use the word, and they'll do that. So here's what's missing just right now. For instance, we have so many infected and they'll give the news. They'll have so many died and they'll give the news. Then they'll move on to talk about, you know, the horror in a hospital. And I go, wait a minute, that's not the finish line. You didn't give me, I saw two charts. I saw infected and died.
Yeah.
And what happened to the infected? You just send them to Mars? I mean, I want to know what happened. And the answer is they're not showing recovery calls.
Yeah.
Nobody is talking about recovery. So when you go on to some good, like the goodnewschannel.org and things like that, not only are they showing the recovery channels, they've got pictures of parties that the hospitals are having for those who are coming out of the virus.
Yes.
And it's just so heartwarming. Mm-hmm. And none of that is on the media. You know, there's no hope. There's no hope. There's truth and the hope is gone.
Yeah.
And this is, they ought to be ashamed of themselves, first of all, for being journalists and not seeing it. Mm-hmm. I think if they realized how many people would tune in if they would give you something good and something that was hopeful, that's going to be the revelation that's going to come out of this for the news. And hopefully they will see that and go, okay, we ought to have it a little more fair, you know, in that, instead of just staying with the same old stuff. I hope that enough people see this and object, that there will be a landslide of, you guys did not help us. You didn't give us a good report here of the trouble we're in. Instead, you just gave us horror.
Yes.
Is that strong enough for you?
I think that's, well, you know, I think a lot of people believe and feel that way as well. I think it's so frustrating to go to where we should be able to go to get true information and to see all aspects of it. Yes, the infection, the cases, and yes, the losses, and yes, the recoveries. That is it. That has been my question too. Well, people have gotten it and they haven't died. So then there's another number.
I'll give you a number. They're saying, Scientific American did a report. They were saying so far they're looking at 1%, probably less than 1%, are terminal in this horrible thing that we have going on. Mm-hmm. Well, what it means, the number is that 99% are recovering.
Exactly.
And so I want to see somebody with selling t-shirts that go the 99.
You know,
that means you are there, you've recovered, and that's what we're celebrating. Let's celebrate the recovery.
Yes. Yeah. And let's celebrate. Like, there's so many beautiful things that we could focus our attention on that would also build up our immune system, make us stronger, to help benefit our own physical bodies from this virus that absolutely has been harmful and taken a lot of lives and created a lot of loss and illness. But there's so much that we could be doing if people were exposed to that. And I think that that's such a great point, Lee, because all the people I know want good news.
We have, you know, we're doing some free videos, some live things with some doctors, physicians, scientists, and whatever. And you're going to find those if I can. I'll promote something free, okay?
Yes,
that's
please.
Prime.com/uplift. We'll give you a page called Streaming for the Soul, where we've done a series of free, one of them's 2 hours, one of them's 80 minutes. But the last one was free videos with very knowledgeable people. The last one, Dr. Todd Avokaitis, is talking about over-the-counter remedies for strengthening your immune system that most people just don't even know about. Mm-hmm. He's just a brilliant DNA researcher. And these are free. So you go and watch these things, crime.com/uplift. It's just what you were saying. This is a time for strengthening. You know, in my opinion, also in the future, I think that the idea of vaccines for these things is not where we should be going. It should be strengthening our immune system so they will not invade.
Yes.
And that's not going to be that hard. So we've always gone the other way. Mm-hmm. We've always waiting for the pill, you know, instead of doing something for ourselves that may just absolutely be the cure.
And do you agree that maybe this challenge and tragedy for a lot of people, but this awakening is for us to get really serious about that, about not allowing ourselves to continue to be pushed and herded into a particular direction, and instead use our minds and our spirits and our hearts and change the direction to what we have power and control over, instead of handing it over and handing our voices over to somebody somewhere else that might be just focused on the money. And so that this is, to me, it's like, it's a time of awakening. And if we can't see it now, when the hell are we going to be able to, you know?
You know, it's a social awakening. It's an economic awakening.
Yes.
It's a personal awakening. And we give the metaphor, and in channel crying has done it a couple of times now, about if you're filled with anxiety and fear and worry and all, you go to a psychiatrist. Mm-hmm. And the psychiatrist say, well, what you have to do is get out of what you're doing and go someplace like nature or whatever, and take a week off and don't see anybody and don't do anything, so that everything shuts down and all the tapes start playing in your head and all of the phone calls stop and the anxiety and the reasons you're feeling a certain way, so that you can get collected, so that you can then see things you didn't see before, settle the things with your relationship and settle the things with your job and all these things and do things in the quiet that never would have occurred to you before. Now, this is just, you know, psychology 101. So you get to that place, and so many people understand that. Well, this is what's happening now in our culture, society, the world. We're in a full stop.
Yeah.
And so no matter what you're going to say, whatever category you want to talk about, whether it's personal or social or countrywide or whatever, we're going to come out differently. We really, truly are. And there's so many metaphors of how this works. One of them, too, let me just talk about this. The Kryon used to say, if you have a if you're a business person, you have a factory going and you got hundreds of people to work and you get an expert who comes in, who looks at workflow and everything else and his efficiency. And the expert says to you, you know, you could do a whole lot better and you could cut these things and these people could be retasks and they could have a better job and everything else. And you could have a lot better factory. And you look at that person and you go, yes, but it's never going to work because we'd have to shut the factory down. Mm-hmm. And we can't, because you have to keep cranking.
Yeah.
So suddenly you realize that the factory has stopped.
Yes.
So we're going to come out of this a little more lean and mean, and you're going to see a lot of the shops may not reopen because there was too many shops.
Yeah.
This sounds like crass, but this is the reworking of just about everything because we stopped.
Yes.
And then there's the personal stuff. I mean, suddenly you're forced together with family and partners and all in a way you never were before.
Yeah.
You got to work that out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And sometimes it's great and sometimes it's not. Suddenly the kids are in front of you. If you're younger and you have family and they're telling you things you never heard.
Yeah.
That's the other thing I like. Yeah. Is that now you get to meet the children.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes,
you know, every single thing we're talking about, that's the golden edge of what is this tragedy in so many ways of so many lives being lost. And maybe, just maybe, this planet will recover in a way that will make it a better planet.
Yeah. Do you? You know, we were talking earlier, and one of the things that we had said, both you and I agreed, was I feel very blessed to be here during this time. Like, and I've said, you know, I feel like I'm meant to be here now, and honored that I get to be a part of this, because as difficult as it is and has been for a lot of people, I see, when I look at the unknown, I see possibility. Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of times people see fear. Mm-hmm. And so that possibility of all of these things that we haven't been able to change because we've been on that hamster wheel, we actually can take a step back and make choices, you know, conscious choices, instead of just continuing to do what we've always done.
You know, also, Sonny, you and I both, and I'll just blurt it out, right now, we have a chance to help those people in fear.
Absolutely.
And I haven't felt like I could get through before to anybody except those strange people who want to hear a channeler. And suddenly we have a lot of people tuning in, listening to us talk, and realizing there's a lot of us who are not afraid, mm-hmm. and we're dealing with these things. But more than that, they're talking about ways of getting through fear and ways of getting through anxiety. And one of them is, can I just say, turn off the news?
Yeah.
Just turn it
Please
off.
Please say that.
And what you have instead, you can be informed easily on the internet and select what you want to read. How about that?
Yes.
Because it's all there. And so you don't have to have a programming of fear. That just doesn't work. How can you sleep at night? I turned on the news just to see how awful it was, and it didn't get any better. And just those 10 minutes, affected me. I can't imagine what it's doing to the hearts and the minds of all of us who just have the TV just on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think the children probably know better. They're probably wanting to turn it off. Mom, can we watch something else? You know, kind of a thing. Turn off the news.
Yeah. I agree. Okay. So I have a couple of questions for you that I'd just love to get your feedback, your information, your feedback on. So one of the things that you've done is you really made the term indigo children. Like, that's a common term that a lot of people are familiar with. And I had a child that was an indigo child that I was grateful that you used that term, because otherwise he was the child that made me crazy, right? So I could have another term for it. And I really felt like that book, what was it, 1999, maybe 2000, somewhere in there.
That's right.
Because he was 9 years old, and I was just at that point of, oh my God, what am I going to do? And that book came, and it helped me to shift my perspective.
Yeah.
Right. To shift my perspective and find, again, just like we're talking about with the pandemic, find the blessings in the challenges and find the blessings and the gifts that he was bringing, not only to me, but to the planet. And so I wonder, has the indigo children, has that shifted? So my son's 30 now, but has that shifted as we've kind of evolved? Like, are they higher vibration now, or is it kind of the same energy?
Are you a grandmother yet?
I am a grandmother. Yes.
Do you know that your grandchildren are very different than your children?
Yes.
And that answers the question. It is evolving.
Yes.
Let me do my little spiel on this.
Okay, please.
For the last, I would say, 25 years, Brian has said that we are headed for something that we didn't expect, and that is an evolving consciousness with humanity, where humanity is going to start growing up finally and not being as dysfunctional as it was. What's the most dysfunctional thing we do over and over that doesn't make any sense? And that's war. And we never have learned. Brian says this is starting to change, and that 2012 would be the big difference. This is what the indigenous have said too. Mm-hmm. But basically, looking for an evolvement of consciousness. We talked in the Indigo book, excuse me, about a woman named Nancy Tappy. She's not with us anymore, but she was a synesthesiac. That's a big word. Mm-hmm. Synesthesia is a condition where your mind is crosses wires a little bit. You're not dysfunctional, you're not stupid, but your mind crosses the wires a little bit. She used to tell us, she said, I would eat peas on my plate and taste triangles. I said, I can't imagine what your mind is doing, what's going on there at all. But what she did with that kind of a cross wire in her brain as a synesthesiac is, she saw colors around people, mm-hmm. and she saw their personality types actually echoed their colors. So reds would do a certain thing and greens would do a certain thing. And she was so right on that she got a degree in, I think it was psychology, and started teaching and giving courses on your life color. And she said, you know, your red would be great with a tan or whatever. And I grew up with this. And even before Cryon, I saw her because I was married to Jan Tober, a metaphysical gal who was friends with her. Mm-hmm. So I've set the stage. So here you've got a synesthesiac who sees colors around people. And she started seeing a new color. And it was with the newborns. Mm-hmm. This is where the indigo got its name. It has nothing mm-hmm. to do with auras or metaphysical colors or anything. It has to do with a synesthesiac having this experience. So the indigo became a new personality type. And what we discovered quickly is that they were different thinkers. Mm-hmm. Then Cryon comes along and says, the reason you're seeing this is because these are starting to be evolved. Now, what happens with an indigo child is there is a remembrance then of being here, if you want to say that. Or let's just say, if you don't believe in past lives, let's talk about instinct for a moment. When a bison is born in the field, it's up and running with the herd in hours. That's called instinct, because mm-hmm. it's a survival instinct. And it does all manners of things. So it's in nature, you have instinct for survival, but humans haven't had that forever. For instance, you arrive in this planet, and every time you get here, you have to burn your hand.
Right.
Not to burn your hand. So it doesn't carry over. It's almost like human beings don't get what the animals get. Mm-hmm. And Christ says, yes, that's correct, because you're not like the animals. You have 23 chromosomes, not 24. There's something else in there. You read the Adam and Eve story, you realize you've got something different. And so suddenly we're starting to receive those instinctual things. So it means mm-hmm. the kids come in at some level, they remember things. Let's talk about what they might remember instinctively. How many times have you learned to read? Let's say you, even if you don't believe in reincarnation, but if you do, how many times have you learned to read? How many times have you learned to speak your language? How many times have you had the math tables given to you? What Sure. if that carries over now, even a little bit? Mm-hmm. So here you are, a young person, you find yourself sitting in school and they're describing numbers and you're going, I know this stuff. Mm-hmm.
That was me.
Yeah. And so you may not know, you know, the minutiae of it, but you know the concept. Mm-hmm. And so what do? You start acting out. You want to go, you do whatever you can. You pull the pigtails of the girl in front of you. And suddenly you've got that disease that suddenly happened called ADD and ADHD. Yep. That belonged almost exclusively to those kids, those indigos. You start to see something never was here before. Mm-hmm. And there's the wisdom factor. Let me tell you what has happened too with the especially in the grandchildren like you would have. Mm-hmm. You have, let's say you have adults starting to argue about something in a marriage. And they're not, you know, and they're on each other about it. Usually in my day, that was good for kids to be afraid, go hide under the bed, do whatever, because, you know, it's a threat to the existence of home and sure. family and nurturing, all these things. So you shut the door, you want to hear it. Suddenly you've got kids as young as six standing between the adults like this going, well, Mom, you know, you didn't need that. And Dad, you've said this before. Now, come on, guys. You know, you've got the counselor.
Yeah.
And that's wisdom. Mm-hmm. So they're not exactly smarter, but they're wiser. They've been here. They've done that. And this shows itself as to some people as they're headstrong. They're not. They've just been here and done that. Mm-hmm. So you've got to treat them differently. You've got to you've got to parent them differently. All of these kinds of things that you found out, Sunny. Mm-hmm.
I did. And that, you know, I love it because it was so helpful, because with all those diagnoses and all of the things that happen, you don't really know where to go or what to do. And all you want is the kids to just be normal. And they're not, because they are wiser, right? They're here to teach us.
We tell moms and dads, especially the moms, because the moms are taking the brunt of it.
Yeah.
Is that you sit with them and you sit right down and go, you and I have a secret. And they look at you and say, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. I know you know more
yes.
than you're telling me. And I know that your teachers are aware of something. We have this secret. Mm-hmm. So let's work the puzzle together.
Yeah.
You go to school, play the game. Come home, we'll talk about it. This is our secret. I know that you know more than you're telling me, and that you know more than the other kids. Yeah. And this brings them in. Instead of an ostracizing them in another world where they're going to go off and do other things with their peers that you don't want to know about. Mm-hmm. So you bring it to, and they're listening to this because, you know, you're right. They are different.
Yeah, they are different. They're different in a great way, but it doesn't always feel that way if you're trying to compare it to how we were, or how we think that things are supposed to be.
That's it. They think differently as well.
Yes. Yes. So I appreciate that book way back then. Thank you very much, because we're both still alive. So that was helpful.
Yeah. And so you've got a 30-year-old now.
I do.
And who is still an indigo, by the way. That doesn't go away.
Oh, no, it has not gone away ever.
No,
nope, not at all. Not at all. So what for you, Lee, right now, If we had a message that we wanted to share with the audience that says, okay, during this pandemic and people are starting to kind of step back into the world a little bit, do you have something? And we got the no media. I think that one's clear. Like, don't watch the media. Yeah. But do you have something that, like, you're doing yourself to keep your focus in a positive light? Do you have a tool or a technique or a process that you go through that says, okay, in a time like this, which there's never been from our experience, what do you do for yourself to keep yourself in the place that you want to be?
Sunny, I do what I've done for many, many years. This is not new for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to my partner who's stuck in Iceland. And we were comparing notes on this years and years ago. In this meld with Kreon, he gave me the answer, and it just seems so stupidly simple. And it's what I continue to do today. Every time I get up in the morning, I literally look for something benevolent, and that's the word I use. Mm-hmm. And I say to myself, this day is going to be a benevolent day. Also, I want to find something I can do for somebody else today. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not going to be for somebody else. And if I'm not with anybody, then I'll do it for me. Mm-hmm. And that will be to watch something fun on TV or something that feeds my heart and my soul and makes me happier. Mm-hmm. And I have done this all my life. I laugh at myself. I laugh at things. And it doesn't matter just how bad things are. Even when I am really depressed, I can find joy and fun in things that other people think are sappy and crazy. But that's what you do with yourself. You find ways of channeling that which is your inner child. We all have an inner child. Mm-hmm. I've always done this. And people, when they see me present, they'll say, you know, you're different than we thought. You seem to be happy all the time. I'm not happy all the time, but I'll tell you, I know what to do about it if I'm not.
Sure, sure.
And this is what I've done. So in this time, for me, it hasn't been a lot different. I haven't gone to the dark side. You know, yeah. I haven't gone through fear. Of course, there's concern. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that hurts everybody's heart, we have friends in Italy, you know, to think that they're saying goodbye to their parents in a way mm-hmm. that they didn't expect they would. I mean, all of these things. So you have something compassionate to send them. I send them love. Mm-hmm. I think good thing. I send them joy, knowing that at some level, perhaps they'll pick it up out mm-hmm. of the ethers. This is what we believe. We always believed in the power of prayer and the power of sending good thoughts and all. Mm-hmm. So this is all a part of my regiment. And, you know, if I could start listing it, I never really have. But that's it. And that is to have something benevolent and compassionate every single day. And then there was something, a phrase that, and my partner, well, we're on the phone and she was telling me something, he turned something around. People who say you only live once, we say, no, you only die once, but you live every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah. You know, one of the things you just said that kind of brought something up for me was, and I kind of feel this way, is that we do all have that inner child inside of us. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of my sense that that little child is who is getting activated or who is reacting to all of this fear, or the news that they're watching is that little kid that doesn't feel safe because the parent, the adult, doesn't necessarily feel safe either. And so being able to give the child the joy and the fun and the play, it to me, it's like that redirects us into that kind of higher vibration where we experience it from a different perspective. Is that kind of how it feels to you?
Yes. And then I'll get a lot of letters on this one, but I don't care. I think the women are taking the brunt of it. And I'll tell you why. Because in our society, and I know that a lot of, especially young families where the men and the women work, but you have a situation where suddenly the men come home and they're spending a whole lot more time with the family and the women that they normally don't do, but mm-hmm. they're coming home and they're worrying about abundance, about their jobs, what happens when the layoff, if the government's going to help them or not. And this falls right into the biggest fear of a man, and that is not to take care of his family.
Sure.
That is the biggest fear of a man, not mm-hmm. to be sufficient and take care of those you love. That starts a depression. Now the women are battling that as well mm-hmm. as homeschooling, cooking for people who come over and all that. And so in all of this time, I would say to the women, if the more compassionate and happier you can be in feeding your inner child, it helps the men in your life too.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to stay depressed when your significant other is not. Mm-hmm. If you both get depressed, then it's sayonara.
Then we're in trouble. Especially if you're both depressed in quarantine.
Yeah, I don't know if this makes sense to you, but this is you asked me how I felt. That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I it does. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Okay. I have a couple of just fun off the cuff questions for you. just to get to know you a little more. Is there an interesting fact about you outside of that you have channeled Kryon for 31 years? Because that's interesting enough that most people don't know.
I don't think anybody knows about my history. And my history is before Kryon, even before engineering. I did a lot of things. I managed 3 ice rinks when I was a kid. Oh. And this is in California. You know,
wow.
I learned to ice skate when I was a kid. I actually taught it for a while. I took lessons from one of the champions in Los Angeles. So this was just like a little known fact. I was a drummer in a band and played the Rose Parade 3 times.
Wow.
So these are the kinds of things. And then what I did as an engineer, electronics, is I went into a recording studio, and that was 15 years. That was my career. That's what I came out of. So I was heavily into music.
Huh. Well, that's really interesting. I bet people don't know that. Very interesting. Thank you.
Now they do.
That's right. Now they do. Right. Okay.
Who knows what my degree was? So I came out of Cal Western University with a degree in economics. Do you believe that? That's called, by the way, that's a nickname called the Dismal Science.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Okay, here's another one for you. Okay. How do you define success?
Success is a situation where every single day you know that your needs will be met.
Mm.
That is success, not money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day you know your needs will be met. This is success at the heart level.
Yeah.
Not at the bank level.
Yes.
Not at these other levels. Every single day you'll be taken care of.
Yeah. No. And what I like about that, it's not something you're measuring. It's something that you experience here.
You know, there's scripturally, and I don't usually go here, but I love that some of the Old Testament stories, this is what the Israelites had walking in the desert. They kept walking. They kept going. They're actually going in circles. So they never stopped. They never hunted. They never grew anything. And manna fell from the sky, according to scripture, every mm-hmm. single day.
Yeah.
So they knew every single day they would be fed, and that's all they knew. And this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What is your number one favorite material item in your life right now? Why do you love it so much?
one of my technicians go to the box and get the little animal that was here? I didn't expect this, but if they'll find it, it's in one of my boxes. I think it's over there.
I love that.
Here he is. This is my hamster.
Does he have a name?
No, never named him.
Okay.
Because he always can be somebody else.
Mm.
And he's whoever I want him to be. And he is my inner child today. Mm. And you find it interesting that I have carried my hamster into the studio? He's always with me. I have met men who carry teddy bears
mm-hmm.
as well. Mm-hmm. So it's an object that helps me to be fun. Is that mm-hmm. all right?
Yeah. And lighten up and kind of remind you of the little child within.
Absolutely. Now I'm not alone because my partner, Monica, she has something as well. And they get together occasionally. We have fun. This is the way it works, folks. You make things work for your inner child. You don't have to have a hamster toy, but you have whatever it is. And sometimes you don't have to have anything. It's just good enough to have yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. All right. Last question. So I know you mentioned a little bit earlier that you've recently, when we were talking together before we came on, you've recently had to move everything to online. So you've had all these events, you've had them all over the country, and you've moved them to on the live events to stay at home experiences, Kryon stay at home experiences. And so you've got a couple that you've already done, and then you have several coming up. One in Seattle, or it was going to be in Seattle this weekend. Where, if people want to find out more about that, if they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know, and now that we're quarantined, I can attend. Where do they go for that? Do you have, oh, I have that link. I have
the link. Stripe.com/schedule.
Basically. Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And so where were you going to be going? Do you know you were
going
to
going? I'm not going anywhere.
Where were you going to go? Right. You were going though. What, Seattle and
all over the country, New York, Los Angeles, Raleigh. We just were in West Virginia online. And the idea is here is instead of giving one big meeting for everybody, we're not pretending. We're saying, okay, we're actually going to be there. So we'll do New York in Eastern Standard Time. It starts at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We have the New York slides. We talk about New York. And we're doing it as though we're actually there with our team. And right. Then we alter some of the people, some of the speakers we have and whatever, just like we would do if we went to New York. And same thing with Los Angeles. So that's basically how we're presenting it. Yeah. And so, you know, so far it works. We've done, I think, 7 full days of streaming. And also in this last month, multiple shows that we are doing that are free that you'll find again on crime.com/uplift.
Yes.
And that keeps us busy.
Yeah. You have so many free resources. And I think I read somewhere that anything that you put out, you do put on that page so people can always have that. That information and that's a real, it felt like anyway, as I was reading, it felt like that's a real important value. You really value that, being able to give it to people and have them receive the knowledge and the wisdom from the teachings.
Well, I walk a fine line like all of us who are making a living doing spiritual work.
Mm-hmm.
And the fine line is, what do you charge for? What don't you? Should you charge? Should you not charge? For me, it's very easy, is that everything that is ever channeled is free,
mm-hmm.
and totally free. And you can have it on, and as I say, we're moving it to YouTube and it's on my site now. The things that I do as Lee and teach, I charge for.
Yeah.
And that is the fine line. It's not really even a fine line.
Yeah.
Because spirit is not proprietary. God is not mm-hmm. proprietary. It should be free, and it is. And so mm-hmm. this is why everything that is ever channeled, wherever I am, even if I'm in the bush, I'm in Iceland, I'm in a jungle, we have our recorders with us. We have usually two going at the same time so that when we come back, we can put them online so people can hear what's said at the various places we are.
Yeah, that's a great way to be able to separate it, because then it's honoring you as the physical being that is creating all of these lectures and teachings, and then honoring the messages that are coming through spirit and giving that information out. So thank you for that. That's really beautiful. All right, Lee. I am so excited that I got to spend this time with you. I have one last question. If there was one thing that you would want all of the people that are listening and watching to remember during this time, what would that be?
It's the same thing I would tell them at any time.
Okay.
That spirit, the creative source, that which is beyond you, is so much bigger than you were ever taught. We have no idea just how big it is. You're surrounded by things, if you want to say, whether it's angelic forces or whatever, you cannot see, you cannot sense, unless you give permission. Mm-hmm. If you stay out of fear and have the guts to say, all right, if you're there, show me, then it starts happening.
Yeah.
And this is what I would tell anybody, is to stay out of fear and claim that which is around you, which is invisible, that you don't know is there. There's so much there. And that is what happened to me as an engineer so many years ago. I was clueless that there was so much around me that was so much bigger than anything I could ever have imagined. That's what I teach.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, that's actually what happened to me also. At 13, I saw my guardian angel that opened the door to this whole world that I didn't know existed. And, and it got me curious. I wasn't quite sure I believed it yet, but it got me curious, which is what called me into, stepping into that And so I think that that can happen at any time too. I think there's a lot of people that are trying to force that to happen. The reality is it's already there. It's there. There's nothing to force. It's just being able to allow, right?
Totally exists. That is totally. And that is so right. It exists now. It's not something you have to create. It's
exactly.
Everybody wants to go out into an outside source and bring it in, but it's there already. You just have to let it happen.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's sometimes we just pushing so hard. It's like, come on, just take a step back. And they're already here. They know what they're doing. It's us that gets in the way.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Lee, for this time. And thank you, those of you that have been watching for this Off the Cuff podcast. It really, it lights me up to be able to connect with people that are inspiring and honest and share the real deal. And I love that you brought your hamster friend, because that puts a smile on all of our faces, I'm absolutely sure.
This is no intention of ever showing this to anybody on a broadcast.
But you know what? That's the thing that's cool.
Let's see what you've done here.
But that's what's cool is the honesty and the vulnerability and the willingness to just, you know, hey, we're just showing up as who we are. And that's what Off the Cuff podcast is about. So thank you so much for joining me. For those of you that are watching, I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have any comments, have any questions, please post them there. I'm going to be checking them out and answering as many as I can. And we've got some of the referrals. I'll put in the links that Lee shared about where you can get the free resources. We'll have those in the comments as well. And certainly in the next week or so, you'll be able to get this podcast up off of iTunes or Google Podcasts as well. Thank you all for joining me. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Off the Cuff with SDJ. If you gained some knowledge, if you felt a connection, if you got some ahas or insight into this thing we call life, if you feel like you're a little more elevated than you were before you listened to this podcast, then please subscribe to this podcast. And if you're already signed up, please rate and review it. I'd greatly appreciate it. If you want to get more information about me and what I have to offer, go to my website, sunnydonjohnston.com. Thanks so much, my friend, and I hope to see you next week.